This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
The big question I've been asked, and I'll be on in Vancouver and Alberta tomorrow.
What about Vancouver?
I'll be on there tomorrow, but I've been asked the same question multiple times. What is the Cowboys' glaring weakness? 877-881-1053. I've already seen people say safety. I've already seen people say kicker. What do you guys think is the glaring weakness for this Dallas Cowboys team? Because when I get asked that question, I have a very difficult time answering it.
Well, you shouldn't, because there is a very glaring weakness. And then if you say I cheated the system, then I'll have to go back and think a little harder.
Okay.
The glaring weakness to this team is the coaching.
Okay. Now, you have just the head coach. Does it start with the head coach, or is it the question mark at offensive coordinator?
And my giant question mark at
Are you about to say you don't believe in Chris Richard?
Yeah. Well, he's not our defensive coordinator.
In name only.
I mean, are you sure about
yes.
that? Are you really sure about that? So I think that we have probably a bottom 10, bottom 12 coaching staff. And specifically head coach. I'm really concerned. And like offensive line, top-notch. Running back, top-notch. Wide receiver, well, I'm getting pretty intrigued, especially with the development of Gallup, that could be a top-notch group. And if not a top-notch group, just below that. Quarterback, above average. Defensive line, at least average. Linebacker, top-notch. Secondary, at least above average. So, like, I think every spot on this team at the absolute worst, except for special teams, is at least average. And then when you look at the coaching staff, we're talking about bottom half of the league. Maybe I'll hedge my bets and I'll just say bottom half, which is still pretty bad because I don't think that Jason Garrett can handle modern football, and I still don't think he can adjust in the middle of a game. I think he's the best coach in the league at coming up with a retroactive game plan of what he would have done now that he's seen the film, but I just don't think that he can handle things while they happen. He cannot roll with it. He cannot adapt as things are happening in front of him.
So I guess then is can all of the other things win in spite of that?
I think so. I think that's the upshot of
Does
it.
Does your quarterback have to be the one that says, forget it, we're doing this, we're going to make this flexible to ourselves?
At least a little bit. I do believe that, because like the thing that I think you run into is you can obviously win with a, in my opinion, below average head coach, because we have one, but like, then it becomes your definition of what do you consider winning. If you consider winning only making it to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl, then I'm still not sure about that. Like, I really want to say yes, but that's just based on hope, and hope is not a real strategy. If you had to pin it down and say, but are you sure? I'm not sure. We can win a division with Jason Garrett as the coach. Absolutely. Anything beyond that, you're just guessing.
You know, you've kind of taking a little bit of what I was going to say on as far as what is the biggest glaring weakness on the Dallas Cowboys. But to just say it's just coaching, I think a lot of the coaching aspects we don't know about. And the defensive coordinator, that who we know is the defensive coordinator, we seem to like the difference in what's going on there as far as that part of the ball football and the coaching there. But I think throughout this whole coaching staff, and I'm hoping maybe Kellen Moore was able to change this, even though he has no experience in doing this, is the lack of the ability, and it's been pointed out on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text from the 972 and from the 214, adaptability.
Yes.
If you look at the coaching staff as far as how they are able to get their players ready to play, how they're able to keep the players together in the locker room, how everybody fights for everybody, that is part of coaching, and that is something that Jason Garrett does well. The problem is once his game plan or the game plan of his coaches that seems to be failing, there is no backup plan. There is no way to adapt to what's going on the field. Because in several times, we can point to the Atlanta game. You can point to the playoff game versus the Rams. There was no battle plan going, oh, we have to change. This is getting run on this. This is happening to us. We have to now morph what we're doing to fight against what they're doing. And there's no adaptability with this staff.
And I think one of the things you're kind of, both of y'all are adding on to there is whenever you go from elite talent or whatever you think Tyron is, I still think he's one of the top tackles in the league.
Yes, sir.
Maybe not the number one tackle in the league. I still think he's a top tackle. Zach Martin, one of the best guards in the game. Travis Frederick, one of the best centers in the game. When you take off these guys, if you were to lose Jalen Smith, if you were to lose Leighton Vander Esch, these are elite style players. And if you take that talent away, you start to see a bare bones thing, and your coaching staff can't do it.
Right.
And it's real easy to be like, all right, look at how those guys prepare. Look at how Tyron Smith goes out there and gets his work done, because he's a monster. But whenever that, I think depth is the biggest concern for me. Depth is definitely the biggest concern, because when you take that elite talent away, what's the next step for the Cowboys? And can the quarterback make up for losing that elite talent?
Can I ask you a question about that in particular then? How many teams in the salary cap era do you think would mark depth? Like, I'm not saying you're
a lot of them.
Okay, so I'm not saying that you're wrong or I disagree with you. I feel a little bit better about depth concerns because I feel like a lot of teams probably go through that same thought
but
process.
But adding on top of it, I think there are teams that can scheme depth, you know?
Sure.
So I think they prepare better. And so that's kind of going with what all of you guys just said. But I feel like depth's that biggest concern because it takes a huge step from Tyron's backup to Tyron or DeMarcus Lawrence to whoever his backup is. There's just a huge gap between those kinds of guys. I don't think the Cowboys have it. So it goes with what we all were talking about. Somebody just said, did you just say that the quarterback was above average and defensive line was average? What are you smoking from the 214?
So I responded to that person, 16th in sacks, 16th in takeaways. Sounds pretty average to me. And if you can't accept that Dak is an above-average quarterback, I don't really know what to tell you at this point. And that's not even because I flipped a coin and decided I was going to be Team Dak all the way. Like, if you just basically watch football and you haven't come away with the fact that he's above average in the league, I don't really know what to tell you, because anything that I tell you, statistically or otherwise, isn't going to change your mind. But if you want stats because you don't believe it, I can give you a whole bunch of statistics that prove that he is definitely above average. And then you get this from the 6-8-2 to kind of go along with that. I think the fact that your quarterback can't win games without your running back or your top receiver is a weakness. Like, I don't entirely know if I understand that point of view either. Why? Because we ran into a rough patch two seasons ago when your offense was destroyed by losing your best offensive lineman and your running back. Like, if you say that you don't think he can do it, you might be right, but I feel like you need a little bit more evidence. Was 2017, when Zeke and Tyron were out, a disaster? Yeah, because I think they played, what, like three snaps together all season?
Right.
So, yeah, that was a disaster. When you lose arguably your two best players, I would argue that a lot of teams would have problems with that, regardless of who their quarterback is. And you want to shout out a couple of people? Well, let's start with Aaron Rodgers. Do you realize that the Packers had losing seasons back-to-back for the first time in almost 30 years? Their quarterback's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, people seem to universally accept him as being awesome, yet when injuries and personnel issues catch up with you, there's not really a lot that you can do in some of these issues. So if you don't think Dak can do it, fair enough. But if you say he can't do it, I don't know if I've seen enough to determine that yet.
Well, and to go along with that, you have to look at also when they lost those, how did the coaching staff react? And it goes back to what we were saying. There was no adaptability. It was almost like Jason Garrett was crutching on the next man up is just going to be just as good. Instead of scheming, instead of running a running back over there to chip or to just have somebody over there to help out and have more max protect going with protection swaying to that side. There was none of that happening once you lost Tyron Smith and all that, especially during that Atlanta game where that guy was going off and sacking Dak Prescott like 20 times or whatever it was that made him a new career and got him a new contract.
Yes.
These things,
he got his bonus almost just off that game.
These things all fall onto the fact that once you get into a game, like I said, once you get into a game and things aren't working, I don't know if this coaching staff knows what to do after that.
I'm fine And 877-881-1053. Love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Cowboys' glaring weakness, mostly because we're fans trying to fix a team. Like that's kind of the reason we get on here and talk about this kind of stuff. We're just trying to fix the team and make it better. And I understand if people think, hey, there's a better option at quarterback. Hey, if we could all have the number one quarterback plus the number one offensive line and right wide receivers and everything, we'd do it. What we got right now, I think, is pretty good. But we're always trying to fix it, make it better. And that's one of the things I look at this team, talent-wise. I'm pretty pleased with the talent they've acquired.
Right.
The talent, I mean, even getting Robert Quinn, I know he's on a suspension for a couple games, but even the way they acquired him was on the cheap. Kevin is a coupon cutter, all right?
Yes.
Is it coupon or coupon?
How coupon.
Do you, all right, so Kevin is a coupon cutter.
Right.
We see him do it all the time. He prints them out and all
really
sorts
weird.
Of stuff. It is weird. And I don't even
why
know if he uses them all. He just
money.
Has them around. But so you love the frugal way
yes.
the Cowboys have gone about
yes,
their business for the most part. And you're hoping that they can continue to do that so you always have a good budget to work with. But I think if you look at the budget, the thing they've done is said, we're going to invest in the draft. That's a way you build a team. And they have talent everywhere. And Kevin, you were asking how many people have the depth concern.
Sure.
I think you need to ask also how many teams across the NFL have the talent that the Cowboys have. And that's something that gets frustrating because you're like, okay, then why haven't they done it? And so you're looking for reasons to blame. And it becomes the quarterback's fault for not making that one pass to Michael Gallup, even though he struck it and hit him with gold on the next one. Or it becomes the coach's fault because they can't get all of this talent to win. I mean, every once in a while, yeah, you get beaten by a better team, and that does happen. But they have talent across the board. The only thing for me that I think stands out is, do they have the talent at the safety position? Do they have the talent to say, okay, we're good with Tank Lawrence. We're really good there. So on the defensive line, we have a top five pass rusher?
Yeah.
At linebacker. Kevin, you pointed out they have the tandem that led the league in rushes or tackles, right?
They have the only multiple players to be top 20 in tackles. The only team that did it at the linebacking spot, the Cowboys. That's it.
And at cornerback, you have a guy who's coming into his third year at cornerback in Cheeto. Byron, who's going into a contract season, but everybody concurs, is the worst receiver on the entire team, but also is really good at swatting footballs. I was listening when Gallup said it. Itolo. So you feel like you're really good right there, except for at the safety position, at Jeff Heath and Xavier Woods. Now, I think a lot of us are really excited about Xavier Woods. And from everything I heard from Jeff, he had a really good training camp. I'm excited about it too, but I don't know that I believe he is Jalen Smith or Tank or Byron even. I think that there's talent there, but that's the glaring weakness for me.
What if they were Jordan Lewis and Cheeto? Would that be an acceptable level for you? Like if Jeff Heath was on that level? Because
yeah, and he's not.
Oh, I was going to say, but like...
I think Jordan Lewis has turned into a better cornerback. We've talked with Broadus about that.
If Jeff Heath ran into the level of those other people, holy crap, we're going to go to the damn Super Bowl and have the best defense in the league.
Uh-huh.
I think if Jeff Heath even got up to the level of Cheeto or Jordan Lewis, then... might be party time.
And we've been playing around with that, you know, him being the greatest of all time and him being the GOAT and everything. And you know, I was talking to Byron once, and he was like, we really like him a lot. We think that he's a really talented safety. And they thought he could start for other teams in the league. Whenever I watch the play, it's not at the level that I expect.
You have to remember, though, also that everybody backed up in Jacksonville, Blake Bortles. Even though everybody backed him up until he was gone. So, you're going to say good stuff about your teammates, right?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
From the 469, safety is literally the only position we don't have an all-pro player in.
Sure.
I'm okay with
that. I mean, we talked about that yesterday, but if you gave me the chance to
I
have
want
an all-pro.
Pro.
Exactly.
Give me all the all-pros.
From the 682, if Dak doesn't lead the Cowboys to the NFC Championship, at least, what does that say about him? I think that reflection on him could be very similar to what it is about Garrett, except it seems like they're going to get this contract extension done and he's not going to lose his job. But let's face it, Like, you can say that wins don't matter. Like, the win is not a quarterback stat. The hell it is not.
Right.
Have you ever followed the narrative of football? What is the narrative about Dan Marino? Oh, I mean, it was good, but he could never win the Super Bowl. Did people examine the fact that the one Super Bowl he made to, he lost to the best quarterback of all time? No. They just focus on the fact that he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Just if, like Romo.
If he... Yes! Yes! Look, you could... Point out all the stats you want, but Romo didn't win, and that will be his legacy. You can argue against it all you like, but that's why he won't sniff the Hall of Fame. And the same thing is going to be true for Dak. If he can't get there, whether it's this year or in a couple years, because like we all seem to think the extension will get done one way or another, that will stick with him. And I go back to, I think it was the third year that Romo... was the starter, that he didn't get the job done, that people really turned on him, because that was the year they lost to the Eagles by 10,000 points, and he was like, well, this is the worst thing, that blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. And then everybody turned on him, because then before then, everybody loved him. And you're definitely seeing that in the offseason, is like a lot of people have turned on Dak, even though he cost nothing. And so you got three seasons. You didn't get to the Super Bowl. The grace period is over and people are out for blood, because for the rest of Romo's career, people were out for blood. Not all of them, but a good number of them. And it's the same thing with Dak. Oh, sure. I'm in that group. I was absolutely in that group.
From the 817, Jeff Heath isn't even on Taco's level, and that's saying a lot.
Oh, man. All right, so okay, he's not going to make the team. Dang.
That's gone too far.
Sorry,
that was too far. We need to take that back, sir or ma'am.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.